Good morning. Could I welcome you to worship in Railway Street Presbyterian Church on Sunday the 13th of March, and welcome you especially if you're a visitor here in our meeting house or whether you're maybe watching us online for the first time, and to welcome all our regulars here in the building, also those watching at home, those listening on the telephone line service. And also to welcome on your behalf, and I don't want to steal this as thunder, but just to welcome Karen Craig, who's speaking. It is our annual PW service this morning. There's no evening service this week. Next Sunday morning, then Charlie will be continuing our series on Hebrews, and our evening service next Sunday will be led by Stephen Woods, who's just walking into the meeting house, and I trust has remembered that he's leading evening worship next Sunday. Elders, could I remind you of our stated business meeting here in the meeting house tomorrow at 7:30? You will receive a revised agenda for that. Please note two other reports that Stephen has sent out by email. And could I also ask elders to collect from the front pew here after the service two additional documents that are printed. Very important, please, that you collect those documents from the front. One of the things that session will be looking at tomorrow night will be possible relaxation of the ongoing restrictions in line with guidelines from assembly buildings. If that is the case, then could I ask you to look out for a congregational email that will be sent out, which will explain those changes if session decide to move in that direction. On Tuesday morning, there'll be a progress meeting with Laurie's and our architect in regards to the link redevelopment. I know that we haven't put up any additional pictures in recent weeks, but following that meeting on Tuesday, look out for pictures appearing online, folks, which will show you the considerable progress that has been made in recent weeks. So look out for those pictures during the course of this week. Could I remind you that today is the last day for you to contribute towards our offering for the people of Afghanistan. Thank you for your generosity, folks. I understand some £2,500 has been donated to that. We really appreciate that. I know that some of you have already given towards Ukraine. The moderator has launched an appeal for Ukraine. You've got an envelope for that today, along with the PW envelope, which Liz will explain, and we'll give more information on the specifics of that appeal for Ukraine next Sunday. But just to say that money will be going towards the work of partner organizations through Tear Fund and Christian Aid, and also through the Hungarian Reformed Church, our partner church, which, in addition to being based in Hungary, also has numerous congregations in Romania and also quite a number of congregations across the border into Ukraine as well. But there'll be more details about that next Sunday. That's all you're going to hear from me, folks. I'm going to hand over to Liz Thompson now.
Good morning, everybody. On behalf of the PW, I would also like to welcome you to our service this morning, to those present in the building, to those watching online at home, and to those who are listening by telephone. I know that we have quite a few ladies who listen by telephone. Also, if there are any visitors with us, we hope that you feel welcome among us. A very special welcome I'd like to give this morning to our guest speaker, Mrs. Karen Craig. Karen was the PW President 2019 to 2020, the latter part of her year seeing many changes and many challenges as the pandemic was beginning. But an important part of her year was when she went to Okhaldonga Community Hospital in Nepal, where she saw at first hand the work that was being carried out there, providing essential medical service and care to expectant mothers. For the past 2 years, the PW Special Project overseas has supported the work of the mothers waiting home at the hospital, where women who have to travel from large distances far away, they can be near the hospital. They can come earlier and they can stay near the hospital in the home before their delivery date. Karen, it is our great pleasure to welcome you here today as our guest speaker. We hope that you will feel at home among us, and we look forward to hearing from you about this very important project later on. Also, I'd like to give thanks to Ian and Rebecca and the band for leading the praise this morning, and to all who are taking part. You will see envelopes and explanatory leaflets in the pews about the PW Mission Fund. This fund is used, among other things, to train deaconesses, to help towards the support and work of global mission workers, and to support a home and an overseas project. I have already mentioned the overseas project in Nepal. The home project supports CARE NI, Christian, which stands for Christian Action, Research and Education in Northern Ireland, providing miscarriage support for both women and men. You can put your retiring offering on the plate this morning. You can put it in an envelope. You can take the envelope and you can take it away and bring it back next Sunday or in the next Sundays. Remember that by using the envelope, we can claim gift aid. Now, we are aware that, as Michael said, contributions are also being sought for the moderator's appeal for Ukraine, and we know that you will, of course, wish to support it too. We are always very grateful for any donations to the Mission Fund, and we thank you so much for your generosity over the years. As people of God, we are always in his presence. So let's remember God's greatness, his kindness, and his power, and let's worship him in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, as we rest in your presence this morning, we come just as we are to praise you, to be touched by your grace, and to be held in your love. As we look around us, we thank you for your wonderful creation, for the grandeur of the hills, for the might of the oceans, for the beauty of nature, and for the miracle of life. We thank you for the love with which you continually hold your creation in caring hands. We are thankful that every day we can lean on you, and that you are our hope and our strong deliverer. We thank you that you are the everlasting God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that because of your dying on the cross and resurrection, because you stand in victory today, we can also stand today forgiven at the cross. Thank you that through your suffering on the cross, we are free and life is ours to live. Help us never to lose sight of the unconditional love that you have for us. We praise you that nothing will ever separate us from your love for us. No matter how far we wander from you and your will for our lives, your love for each one of us is constant and still reaches out to find us. We thank you especially for coming to us when we are afraid, for giving us hope when we feel overwhelmed and all seems lost, and for being with us on the days when we feel lonely and when no one else can be there. As the psalmist says, you are our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? And as we rest in your presence this morning, help us to surrender ourselves to you. Help us to listen for your voice in our hearts and to hear your word of hope today, because you never fail us. With thankfulness, we bring our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Psalm 100 reads as follows. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So let us make a joyful noise as we stand to sing our two songs, Come People of the Risen King, and Jesus, All for Jesus.
Well, we come now to our prayers of intercession. And as it is our PW service this morning, we will be focusing mainly on the work in which PW is involved, both here in Ireland and further afield. As you've already heard from Liz, through our PW Mission Fund, we support two projects each year and also the work of our deaconesses and global mission workers. In our prayers this morning, we will be remembering two of those global mission workers with whom our own group here has developed close ties, and that's Diane Cusack, who has been based in Lusaka in Zambia for many years. Her role there is coordinator of early childhood development with the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian. And the second is a family, Steve and Rosie Kennedy. And the Kennedys have since 2020, and with the two daughters, have been working in Cluj, Romania, with the Tovadeki congregation of the Hungarian Reformed Church. They're also involved in outreach ministry to English speakers in the city through the Cluj Christian Fellowship. And just for your interest, Steve was brought up here in Railway Street and is the son of Pat Kennedy, who is still a member of our congregation. So let's come before our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we pray that you will still our hearts and fill us with a sense of your majesty and power. You are the one who holds our world and all its people in your hands. We thank you this morning for the many PW groups which meet throughout our land, providing a source of friendship and fellowship and spiritual support for women in our congregations. We pray for those who lead our groups, for Liz and for our own committee, for those in assembly buildings, for Pauline, our PW development officer, and Rose, who assists in the office, for Heather, our current president, and Esther and Anna, two vice presidents. We thank you for all that they have done over the past two difficult and challenging years to keep our commitment to and enthusiasm for the work of PW alive, and continue to bless, guide, and encourage them in the various responsibilities you have entrusted to them. We thank you for the prayer, financial support, and encouragement that PW provides for our deaconesses and global mission workers. We pray that you would bless and empower our deaconesses as they work and witness in our hospitals, community, and congregations. And we pray this morning especially for our own deaconess, Heidi, that you will bless her ministry here in Railway Street as she provides pastoral care to those who are ill, housebound, or dealing with difficult issues in their lives. We pray that through her, you would bring words of encouragement, blessing, and guidance into all the situations she encounters, so that people will be strengthened in their relationship with you. And if you think of our global mission workers, we want to pray for Diane Cusack and Lusaka, as she provides training for the early childhood teachers in the Synod of Zambia, and as she trains church leaders and committees to help them in their understanding of early childhood development. We pray that you will guide and inspire her in the preparation and delivery of her work, and that her relationships with both teaching staff and church leaders will be fruitful. We pray for her safety as she travels long distances throughout the country, and that you will keep her in good health and strong in her own faith. Remember too the Kennedy family as they settle into new life in Cluj, Romania. We pray for Rosie and Steve as they make contact within the international community and for their ministry in the Tovadeki congregation. We pray that opportunities will arise to share the gospel And as the seed of your word is planted, we pray that there will be those who will respond and accept that you alone are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that you will breathe new life into the international community in Cluj and grant that the Christian fellowship there will grow under Steve and Rosie's work and witness. And we just want to remember too our own member Pat, as she misses the close contact with the family, and especially the two granddaughters, Julie and Lucy. We pray that family relationships will be kept strong and that Pat will find encouragement, knowing that Steve and Rosie have been obedient to your call upon their lives, and as you provide for their needs, so too will you be faithful in upholding her in this time of separation. And we pray now for our special projects, for the work of Carrie and I, and for the support it gives women and couples who have suffered the loss of a baby through miscarriage. We pray that through their day retreats, those who attend will find comfort in their loss, healing in their pain, and hope for the days to come as your Holy Spirit ministers to hurting and broken hearts. And we thank you for the renovations we've been able to provide for the mother's waiting home in the Okhadunga Hospital in Nepal. We pray that this will keep the mothers and their babies safe as they are given the care and attention they need during the final weeks of pregnancy, and thus avoiding the often dangerous journey to the hospital in the final stages of labour. We thank you that Carolyn was able to visit this project during her year as president and provide us with a first-hand account of the hospital and the project that PW is supporting. And we pray that you will continue to bless the work of the hospital as it provides affordable, quality health care to people from the surrounding villages. And we want to pray for Karen now as she comes to speak to us, and that through her, you will open up the truths of your word. But Heavenly Father, before we close, we just want to lift up before you the situation in Ukraine. Sometimes it is just so hard to know how to pray or what to pray in the face of so much suffering inflicted on a free and democratic country by one man whose mind is set in greed and power with no regard to truth and human life. But we acknowledge, Lord, that you are sovereign in the affairs of the world. So we ask it in your mercy and grace that your hand will bring about an end to this war and that you will do it in your way and in your time. But until that time comes, we pray that you will enable your church to stand fast. We pray that through the work of aid agencies and human kindness, that you will provide for those who have left their homes, that you will heal those who have been affected in body and mind, and bring comfort and support to those who have been bereaved or who have left loved ones behind to play their part in the conflict. We pray for wisdom and discernment for our world leaders, and courage and protection for those in both Russia and Ukraine who are standing up and fighting for truth and freedom. Praise be to the name of our God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are yours. You change times and seasons. You depose kings and raise up others. You give wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. You reveal deep and hidden things. You know what lies in darkness, and light dwells with you. Amen.
Our Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verses 12 to 27. It's 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll be starting to read at verse 12. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation to be here and to be part of the PW service in Railway Street. Thank you to the Reverend Michael Davidson for allowing me to participate today, and also to Liz for the invitation to be with you. Thank you to the ladies who have taken part already and for your welcome. It was lovely. I must say I do feel very welcome here, so thank you very much. And we do pray that God will continue to be with us in the service as we meet together, and may we know his presence with us. In November of 2019, Rob and I visited Nepal. Rob did a retreat for the global mission workers who were working there at the time, but I was tasked to find out about a hospital in a rural part of the country, run by UMN, United Mission to Nepal. PCI has connection through our global mission workers, and so I had the opportunity to go and see how, through Presbyterian Women, we could support some work for the local women. What do you think of when Nepal is mentioned to you? For me, it's probably Everest and the Himalayas. And we were privileged to see Everest at a distance early one morning. It was about 50 miles away. It was quite far away. But the mountains that you see here are a range just north of Kathmandu. The scenery is breathtaking and the mountains are beautiful. The city of Kathmandu sits in a basin surrounded by the mountains. But because of the pollution, most days the mountains are hidden from view. But we did see them on one or two occasions. Within the city, life is like any other major city. Lots of people, traffic, and in the case of Kathmandu, fumes and dust. There are various means of transport with lots of tuk-tuks and scooters. The little blue and white vehicle at the top there is a tuk-tuk. And on this journey, Rob and Peter Fleming sat in the front with the driver and the rest of us piled in the back. There were about 12 in total. You take your life in your hands travelling on these and also trying to get across the road. Nepal is a Hindu country. And in four areas of the city, there are temple squares where you find a selection of temples to the various gods. Tourists come to visit these temples, but also the local people come to worship. And they spend time in and around these places and these areas. The challenge for our global mission workers is how to work and live in this situation. PCI are partners with the United Mission to Nepal. And so this enables us to work together in a variety of ways. We have contacts in Kathmandu with a theological college and a library. But Peter and Valerie Lockwood and their three teenage children, who served for many years in Nepal, were there actually at the beginning of lockdown in March 2020. They came home later that year and Peter continued to work remotely. But in December of 2021, Peter and Valerie went back to Kathmandu to say a farewell to the staff at UMN as they've come to the end of their time as global mission workers with PCI. They'll do some deputation work over the next few months, but pray for them as a family. as they seek to find out where God will lead them in the future. And they served a number of years in Nepal, so it's a challenge for them coming back home, especially for the children. But pray that they will find out what God has in store for them and their future. Peter and Jane Fleming also came home in 2020. They worked remotely as much as they could. However, it became extremely difficult for Jane to do school teaching due to the time difference. Peter continued his work supporting the cluster groups in the rural parts of the country. Since then, they've been able to return to Kathmandu. They returned in January. They're getting settled in again, and Jane is working with KISC, which is the international school in Kathmandu. She's doing some primary support with the children there. She travels to school every day, either by the school bus or on her scooter. So pray for safety for her. The road up to the school, we went up it in the bus, it's pretty rough. So pray for her safety in that. Peter has been given opportunity to serve UMN online by supporting the local cluster groups, which are in the rural areas of the Himalayas. He's been working on developing projects to help these rural areas and to access funding. And if successful, the projects could be of great benefit to the people in these areas. Excuse me. Peter's also doing an online class for a theological college. So life is busy for them as they settle back in. But unfortunately, not long after they arrived in Nepal, they both picked up COVID. Thankfully, they are well again. But pray for their well-being and their safety. They're still on visitor visas at the moment and would really like to get that upgraded to a work visa. So please remember Peter and Jane in your prayers. Outside of the bustling capital of Kathmandu, many people live in small villages which are built onto the hillsides. For many, farming is done on these terraces as flat plains are few and far between. Rice and potatoes are among the crops that are grown on the plains. And this next slide will show some of these plains. They were growing potatoes here. And when you have a meal, they put the rice and the potatoes on the plate. So you eat both at the same time. But hairpin bends, the travel in particular, hairpin bends are as numerous as a Grand Prix circuit, with precarious drops down to the valley below. And my opportunity sitting in the Jeep was to sit at the side of the road that looked down into the depths below. But in some cases, these roads have been affected by landslides during the monsoon season, or perhaps are unfinished. We experienced these roads as we travelled east out of Kathmandu to visit a hospital run by UMN. And this is one of the roads. We were waiting for these jeeps to come down so we could access the road. But I was glad that we were in a four-wheel drive jeep and that I wasn't the driver. It was an eight-hour journey, and I say east out of Kathmandu. And we, I suppose as we journeyed, I realised that the terrain of this country dictates how people live and work. Okaldunga Community Hospital is a 50-bed general hospital run by UMN, serving a number of the rural districts. The hospital is nestled on a hillside in the valley at about 6,500 feet in the foothills of the Himalayas. It has an outpatients department, TB unit, general wards, paediatrics, maternity, and so on. But because it's set into the hillside, each of these wards is like a separate building, and you'll get a few shops in the middle of it and some houses as well, so it's not just on one complex. The hospital also has a few vehicles to bring patients in from the surrounding areas, but the road is very, very rough, and during monsoon season, the travel in and out is practically, well, it's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult. There is a helipad for very real emergencies, but it's so costly, it's only used when the hospital can do no more for the patient and they have to be airlifted to Kathmandu. To help the community and the surrounding districts, the hospital is endeavouring to provide a good standard of care for the patients. And so to do this, they've set up a nursing school. This provides employment for the local people, And hopefully the trained nurses will stay on and work in the hospital when they're qualified. It is extremely difficult to get qualified and properly trained staff. The doctors will come for a short while but then go back to Kathmandu. So they get good standard of nursing care that makes all the difference. And this has been the vision of Yuvraj Akarat, who is he's the director, and he really looks after this facility. And he would like to see the hospital expand to 100 beds. Already, they have more patients than they have beds. Their bed occupancy is something like 130%. But for many women living in the local districts, this hospital has been a lifeline, especially during their pregnancy. And so the vision to set up the maternal waiting home came about over 15 years ago. The building accommodates up to about 20 mothers-to-be with their husband or mother or sister or friend who come along to help with the cooking. The idea is to encourage the woman to come to the hospital for their antenatal visits. And then if there's a concern about the birth, it's suggested that the mother can come and stay in the home. Remember, some of these ladies are coming from the local areas or slightly further afield. Some of them walk half an hour to get to a main road, then they bus 2 or 3 hours. It's extremely challenging for them. So she can come and stay at the home. She pays a nominal fee. Classes are given on nutrition, baby care, etc. But for these ladies, it's the sense of family. And more importantly, support at the time of delivery that is of greatest benefit to them and their families. Many of the ladies live in these rural villages in the Himalayas where there is little or no support. Up to 50% of births in Nepal happen at home. One of these ladies is Bimala. She was expecting twins. Unfortunately, one had died. And she and her husband were encouraged then to come and stay whatever length of time that was until she delivered of the second baby, which she did, and delivered a live baby. So they were really thrilled by that. Since 2020, as you've been hearing this morning, Presbyterian women have supported the work of the maternal waiting home as our overseas project. As you can see, the building was in need of some repair. And so, with your help, we've been able to give finance to undertake some of these renovations. So when you contribute to the mission fund, you enable us to support the women in Nepal. So thank you for that support. Work started on the outside of the building. I'm not sure who sorts out health and safety regulations, but it was good to see it getting started. I don't know if you noticed, but one or two of the men actually are in bare feet, so they can probably hold on better to the bamboo, but That's as was, but it was lovely to see these pictures and to get these back. So the bedrooms have also been repainted. We have had the rewiring done, which was badly needed. It's all been updated. The bathrooms have been retiled. The kitchen has been repainted and new flooring has been put down. It's just been lovely to see the change that have been made. And the new mothers and partners arrived in April of 2021. Nirmala, the midwife, welcomed them by cooking a meal. The welcome to the ladies, however, was short-lived. Most of 2020, the maternal waiting home actually had been closed due to COVID-19. But the opportunity was taken at that point then to do the renovations. PW were able to release funds in 2021 to allow this to happen. So at the time of the completion, Yuvraj Akarat, the director, just expressed his thanks for the grant given by Presbyterian Women to enable these renovations. And in a recent email from John Padgett, who's the medical director, he reported the happiness of the ladies who are benefiting from these improvements. So ladies, thank you, and everyone else who contributes. So pray for Yuvraj and Nirmala. The second wave of COVID-19 hit Nepal in May of 2021. The renovations had just been completed. The ladies had come in, but unfortunately, that had to be shelved again. The home had to be closed as the outpatients department was moved into it. The second wave actually proved to be more disruptive than the first. But thankfully, the home was reopened in November of 2021 and welcomed the latest intake of mothers-to-be. They are watching and waiting just to see how maybe of a third wave comes and what disruption it may cause. But when Bimala and others like her return to their village, they need support. We visited a village at 9,500 feet where we saw outreach work that is done into the rural communities and it's supported by the hospital. The women are encouraged to set up small businesses, maybe mushrooms or something like that. For some of these ladies, their husbands are working away. A lot of them go, the husbands work in the Gulf and they could be away for 2 or 3 years at a time. So the women have to provide the income in these rural areas. The ladies also help each other by means of a self-help finance group. The government help by training the woman to do bookkeeping and so on. And social workers also come from time to time to teach the younger woman how to keep safe and to support them in times of difficulty, especially any who may have suffered from domestic violence, which can be prevalent in the rural areas. So pray for the work of the hospital, the outreach into the local and rural communities. The hospital wants to care not just for the sick, but for the whole person. Continue to remember the work of the home. Nepal is struggling with the effects of COVID-19, and the challenge is to get as many people vaccinated, but supplies are limited, the terrain is difficult, and it's hard to reach people in the rural areas. But the hospital has a vital role to play. A few months ago, the snow made it quite difficult to reach and to achieve this, but it's working towards getting all their staff their booster jabs and to also reach out into the villages. So there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. I mentioned earlier about Presbyterian Women and the Mission Fund. And when you contribute to PW Mission Fund, you help us play our part within the Council for Congregational Life and Witness. And we in partnership work with the Council of Social Witness, Global Mission and Mission in Ireland. We support an overseas and home project every year, but we also give grants to supplement these councils. And we contribute to the training of deaconesses. And there are two more in training at the moment, so it's a real encouragement for that. So thank you for your support that you've given over the years, both financially and prayerfully. It is greatly received and helps us to show the love of Jesus to those who need our help. You can also find updated information on global mission workers from the PCI website and digital dispatches. And on the special projects, if you go to the Presbyterian Woman page, you'll find information there. But as every year with PW, we have a theme. And this year, it continues to be side by side. We are encouraged to be side by side with each other in our Christian walk. The last 2 years has been a challenge for us to be side by side, as we have all experienced the pandemic, and yet there are ways in which we can do this and have been doing it. We are the body of Christ, as our scripture reading reminded us, and each one of us a part of it. We are to play our part in the fellowship to which we belong. How can we do this as we come out of the pandemic? We're all different. We've all different gifts and callings, and yet we are to work together. These past years have been a challenge for us all. But if we take our hands, what can we do? Do you remember when we thought nothing of giving a hug or putting an arm around someone? It isn't as easy to do that now, but there are times when we need someone to put an arm around us, when we need a friend to come alongside and to hold our hand. Or maybe you can be creative and use your hands to make a gift, maybe bake, do a cake or whatever. Can you think of ways of using your hands? Be creative. And then we can use our mouth and our ears. We're able to meet again socially. It's lovely to meet face to face, to enjoy company, but let's take time to listen carefully and to speak words that are encouraging. Pray specifically for someone who's finding life tough at the moment. Give thanks for answered prayer, for our everyday blessings, and remember those in challenging circumstances especially we've been remembering those in Ukraine this morning. Use our feet. We're now able to go into homes again, but isn't it good that we've actually learnt how to meet up outside? We're more ready to sit outside, have a cuppa, or go for a walk. Use these opportunities and take time with someone. Use our eyes. See ways of helping others. Be open to look around at those around you through God's eyes. What would He have us do for someone? Pray and ask that God would give us opportunities in which we can show His love in practical ways. And use our mind. How can we use what we know of God to tell others about Him? In these strange and unusual times, people still need to hear of God's love and of His grace. Tell others of what God has done for you. It's a great challenge for us now, as we may have to find new means of telling His story. But how can you meet up with a friend to share your story or to study God's word together? And use our heart. When Jesus looked at people, He had compassion on them. And we too need compassion in our hearts. We can't fix every situation, but we can be there to listen, to comfort, and to point to Christ, who alone is our hope. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We have our part to play in sharing what God has done for us through His Son Jesus. But take heart. As we are part of His body, we don't face those challenges alone. We have support. God, by His Spirit, has promised to be with us. So pray for each other. Encourage one another as we look to the coming weeks and months. Pray that we will know help and support through this new season to which we are facing. In the knowledge that our God is sovereign, He holds the future, and He holds us in the palm of His hand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are sovereign, all-powerful, all-knowing. You are on the throne, and you know what lies before us this week and in the coming weeks. Guide, direct, and help us to live our lives in a way that honors you. Help us to be the body of Christ in our community where you have placed us. We pray for Peter and Jane settling back in Kathmandu. Keep them safe and well, and pray that they will be able to continue to serve you and to take on new responsibilities. Pray for the Lockwood family as they seek your guidance for their future in 2022. Thank you for the time and service they gave in Nepal, and help them all to settle back here in Northern Ireland. We also remember the staff of the Ukhaldunga Hospital as they continue to support those who come for help, and pray especially for the staff of the maternal waiting home. And we pray also for ourselves that with your help, we will be able to be the body of Christ where you have placed us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we're all now going to stand together and sing our final praise, "Hear the Call of the Kingdom." Let's praise God together. And we'll say the grace. "Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen."